to Ever Beyond, Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, Well, welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, and let's see if No Borders Radio has got a let's just try pressing all of these buttons. I'll cancel that one. That one didn't work. Does that one work? Nope, that one didn't work. Does that one work? Nope, that one didn't work either. So, try that one. No, that one didn't work either. Oh well, maybe sometime. Let's see. I don't think no. Andromeda's down. Okay, never mind. This is. Excuse me. Please apologize. I'll start again. Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyondradio.com and probably also Journeys with Rebecca Radio that is still out there and various other sites. We were just talking, so I'm here with Nancy and Walt, Nancy L. Hopkins and Walt Silver, our three of the, I don't know what to call us, because we're talking about technologies that don't run on batteries the same way that your transistor radios do. Things, they do different things, they're wired differently. And when you wire them differently, different things happen, because there is not just one kind of electricity, basically, and there's more than one kind of fire. There's all sorts of things, and it turns out there is more energy than electromagnetic energy. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the differences between what Edison was wanting to squeeze through the wires, and one of the issues is what we're just talking about is the issue is resistance. When you insist, there is resist, and when you work with, there is a flow. When you go with the flow, it's easy to grow and slow, you know, all that stuff. But understanding how energy flows and how energy likes to flow. Could you imagine that energy could be happy flowing through a wire or not going through a wire? Perhaps energy that is being pushed through a wire so much that the wire glows white hot is actually really making the energy unhappy, because it's encountering so much resistance that it glows to white hot. Just imagine that if there was a consciousness attached to that energy and you flicked on a light, that thing now is like flaming rage and anger. Anyway, that's taking it to its ultimate. What is consciousness? What is energy? And is energy as conscious as us, for instance? You know, is the electricity in our flowing through our houses and all this stuff, is it just this kind of, you know, dead stuff, or is it alive and does it have consciousness? So, with me tonight, I have Nancy L. Hopkins and Walt Silver. And part of our conversation was about what is flow, what is current, and these things. So, Walt, what do you think about what I was just saying about the encountering resistance is actually detrimental to the happiness of the energy that is flowing through it?
You realize that Walt's not on the line.
Is he gone?
Yes. And I messaged him. I said, he was just promoing the new show. I said, you want to come back? He says, I'm hungry.
Oh, all right. Well, let's let him, I'll just...
You can't let Walt, you know, you got to be real explicit. Otherwise, he's going to get away from us. And, you know, he's too valuable in what he knows and too much fun in what he says.
Well, anyway, if you don't mind, I mean, what do you think of what I was saying here? That the consciousness of energy might be, you know, perturbed.
Well, it reminded me of when I was in electronic warfare school, and they're teaching us the basis. I mean, we were not electricians or electronic peoples at all. We're intelligence officers that were tasked with, now we got to learn about electronic warfare. So they have to go back to the beginning and teach us electricity. And I'm in this room, and I kept saying to the instructor, but what is it? And he kept giving me all this, and I said, no, what is electricity? And he was like, oh, well, nobody knows. You know, and that's the bottom line, is that we know how to harness it, but we don't know what it is. Nobody does.
Exactly.
We don't know what magnetism is. Where does it come from? What starts it up? There's got to be a consciousness behind it, because you can't have manifestation without consciousness. So, yes, there has got to be an awareness in everything. Now, the degree of consciousness, well, I don't know if I'd have a conversation with a copper wire, but maybe. I don't know.
I think Walt and I have conversations with copper wires.
Well, actually, when I'm thinking about it, yes. You have a, it's not a verbal consciousness, it's a merging of intent, sort of. I want you to do this. Can you do this? You know, I mean, when Walt's talking about him, he knows the polarities of them. And he knows how fast something's going to go because of the thickness of it or the length of it, because he's plays with them all the time. So yeah, I don't think that there is anything that exists that at some level doesn't have awareness. I suspect that the energy that is everything is imbued with, well, you can call it pure consciousness or you can call it proto-consciousness, but there is an awareness level.
You know, I've been, well, we talk about this a lot, about structured water, and also the idea that nobody's ever seen a single molecule of water, you know, just one, that it exists as a kind of loose network of oxygen and hydrogen in a particular proportion, but it's like, you know, you can't single them out because it's really more like a chain, that water likes to spiral. It likes to twist around like ropes. It likes to spiral, and just like all things in the universe, you know, if you look at galaxies, there's spirals within twists, within spirals, within twists. That seems to be the nature of things, and the energy likes to spin around like that. And if you do that with water, if you kind of spin it around, it likes it and it flows much more easily, and it's like water likes to be one thing, like a rope, like a whole bunch of people holding hands, the teacher takes the little children for a field trip and all the children hold each other's hand like a long chain. Water likes to be like that and dance together. So I think that, and okay, so what I was getting to is that if you're a plumber, as you do, you get to know, you get senses. Everybody's got these inner senses. And if I was a plumber, for instance, and I knew that there were, say, 8 radiators in the house, and they needed a certain amount of, like, each radiator takes, say, a gallon, right? And that if you pass water through a radiator, it loses like 5 degrees of heat in each minute per gallon. And you get all these statistics, and you can assemble an idea of how much, how many thermal units, how big a stove would I need to drive this house. You get a feel for that, and you wouldn't even need to. It would be very easy. You'd have all these easy reckonings in your mind to to say, oh, well, you'd need a large stove like that, or, you know, a three-story house, you're going to need this kind of heating pipe and these kind of things. So in that same way, when you make electronics, you get a feel for the flow of current in the circuit. And that's what Walt has. He's got that. He's got that feel, and that enables him to do exactly what you were saying.
Yeah, there's definitely. I mean, he knows. He intuits more than. I mean, to be honest with you, a lot of times when he's talking to me, I'm going like, "What is he talking about?" And I have to get him back to basics, you know, remind me of the basics so that I can see. When I'm looking at his devices, I can virtually see what's happening with the energies. But understanding how he got the fields to look that way, that's his domain, not mine. He's truly amazing that way. And we all bring something to the table. That's what everybody's got to realize, is that you know something that we don't know. And everybody's got to, you know, just get into the conversation and let us know what you know. We find out so many things. But talking about the water, have you heard my new device with the
your
water?
New device? Tell well, me about start- your new device.
Yeah, it started out with...
Does it need batteries?
No. It started out with Walt using one of his resonators, a Shungite resonator, on his water pipe. And instead of attaching it to the electric pipe that comes down into your smart meter, he took it and he used the same ties, only he put it on his water, on the intake of the water into the house. And he said... He's not particularly energy sensitive that way, but his mom is. And she said, oh, yeah, it was actually her idea. I shouldn't even say it was his idea, because she said, what if you put it on the water? And sure enough, she could detect a drastic change in the field. So he's telling me about it, and I'm going like, I got more shungite on this property in this house. I certainly don't need it on my water pipes. But he kept saying, oh, you got to try it. And I didn't want to use one of his resonators because... These are difficult to make, and I didn't want to take it from his inventory, so I decided I would just put a bucky bag out there. So I put I just took some twine in the bucky bag, and I wrapped the bag in the shungites. Now, you know, on the pipe, and the field is starting. I was like, oh my God, I could not believe the change of energy. It jumped. I mean, it was like all of a sudden the water turned alive. It started to spin. And not only did it start to spin like downriver, it also went back upriver. And I could detect the field going all the way up the pipe, and I'm like a half an acre in from the street where the meter is. It went at least as far as the meter, and it conceivably went all the way back to where the water plant is. I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And for people who are not energy sensitive, you're still going to see the effect of it, because when water is spinning and water is alive, water is different and it's softer. And it works with the shampoo differently. The shampoo and the soap was getting foamier quicker. And my hair is different from using this softer water. It tastes unbelievable. The taste is, I mean, I had good water to begin with, but now it's just like, oh my God, this is magical. And all you have to do is take duct tape, you know, like 5 inches of duct tape with a sticky side up, take 3 nuggets, because we know this thing is, everything wants to be 3 now. So you take the 3 nuggets, doesn't matter what size they are, and you put them together so that they're as close to touching as you can get it. They can touch, but probably that's not required that they touch. They just have to be close together. And then go to your pipe. You go to the one outside the house, or you can go to the one that's the cold intake into your hot water heater. And in a spiraling motion to get the tape around it right, you're just going to make sure that these 3 pieces of shungite are tight against the pipe. And you should immediately begin to feel a change in your water, because the shungite field is the frequency of the shungite field is spinning, is causing a spin that is life force. It's counterclockwise. I mean, it's clockwise. And as this thing begins to spin and the water starts to turn alive again, and it doesn't seem to be affected by 90 degree or the 100 feet, you know, problem with that Nolte was explaining. That if it goes down, if water goes down 100 feet in the pipe or takes a 90 degree turn, it loses its life force. It loses its spin. That doesn't seem, when you got the shungite on it, it seems to keep the spin going. So you don't run into that problem. But I highly recommend that everybody try it. It's real cheap. Just get your own duct tape and get, you know, 3 pieces of shungite and try it out. And see if I'm lying to you.
Well, I've been thinking about, you know, as you're talking, like my water supply is about 300 yards up the hill. It's a spring, but it has to go down a long pipe, and I think it has this kind of slightly stale taste, and I'd like to see if I could fix that. That would be a nice thing to do. A good thing for everybody, really. So.
Well, you've got a good test environment then.
Yes, indeed. Even though, out of the water available around here, that's probably the best, but it still has this funny taste to it, so I'd like to eliminate that.
Yeah, well, give it a try. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we've only begun to investigate shungite, and shungite is like the most amazing vehicle for really starting to understand energies. You know, because it all goes down to the quantum level. It goes back to that buckyball.
Yeah. Has Walt been experimenting with elite shungite in his circuits, or is it just using the regular?
He does use it. I don't know in what cases, but I know that he's put it in certain devices, and I'm not sure why. He'd have to answer that. But he's off being hungry.
Oh, bless his heart. And his little stomach. Little stomach. Tiny stomach. He has to eat little and often. Yeah, so here we are at the end of the year. I've been having my head, as I said, in code, and working on this facility that I promised everybody. One day I'll make a search facility for the archives, and so I've been working days on end. You have no idea. But the main thing is that my website kept on crashing every few hours. And the reason was because of software that I'd written that I hadn't fixed. So I had to go right down into it. And while I was down there, I thought I'd implement the things that I've been thinking about, including the search facility, which turned out to be... The actual thing that does the searching was no problem. The way of displaying it took it took days to get that out, right? But anyway... so I'm very pleased, and as I said, it'll be somewhere in the new year. You'll see it in the Wolf Spirit archives. You'll be able to search for things, and that will make it 1,000 times more useful. Eventually, you'll be able to make a search and perhaps make a download list, or perhaps we could do like multiple downloads, or make a DVD of something, or I don't know. We'll think of things we can do with them. But basically, what I want, the next stage is to be able to tag archives, so that if people have listened to them, they can suggest tags for these archives that would make it easier for people to find what they're looking for. And indeed, if anybody's interested in transcribing or finding like the favorite one, putting it up on YouTube. And we'll put that into wolfspirit.tv. That's why I bought the domain. It's for that sort of purpose.
Don't you mean tv.wolfspirit?
No, it's wolfspirit.tv and wolfspirit.tv.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You did get those.
Yeah. I got that. And I've got wolfspiritradio.com. So there's art. No, it's art.wolfspiritradio.com. That's actually got a picture that's got that was given to me by for Christmas. Let me just put that in there. And that is a this is a site for the artists among us, and we've had Michelle Caruso, who has been creating the logo, and she's put some of her other art up there. So let me just make sure it's it's still running here. It's been a while. Let's just see. It's taking a while to come up, but anyway. That's taking time. I'll just wait for that. So, Nancy, 2014 in some ways was very challenging and stretching for in many cases. What would you like to see more of in 2015 that you started to see in 2014?
Well, 2014, I know a lot of people had a lot of problems in 2014, but I didn't really. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the better, maybe the best year of my life, because I'm going to take it back to 2012 even, when we were all being bombarded with all these end of time things, you know, and of course the ones that understood what the Mayans were about and what was happening, that was just, it was nothing ending, there was ending, but it's also a new beginning. It wasn't this fear of, oh, it's going to be all over type of thing. But what we got to in 2013 was sort of like, okay, where do we go from here? You know, what's happening here? And one of the things that was very prevalent at the end of 12 and into 13 was different people out there who were talking about the event. And the event was this and the event was that, and different ones were using the same phrase, the event. And they never could be very explicit as to the details of what this entailed, except that it was going to be really big and it was going to change everything. And they would have different dates. Oh, it's going to happen here and it's going to happen there. And I noticed that in the end of 2013, these people that were, you know, predicting this event thing started focusing in on the spring of 2014. And for the first time, I saw them agreeing on a time frame. And that's when I found the Shungite. That's when I told you about the Shungite. And that has been my life in 2014, was Shungite. And I believe that Shungite was, in fact, the event, the thing that they kept talking about that they couldn't give any details to. There's a human brain could have ever imagined a black mineral from Russia being able to do all of the things that this Shungite does, and to be such a conduit for understanding a new science. It's not even new. It's just a different way of being able to explain science at the quantum level. And so it was a magical year in that I saw everything change. I know for a fact in my reality that there is a new reality, that we have in fact started the foundation, it's well set, of a new way, a new earth, a new paradigm of thinking and of acting and of being. And it keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. When I first started talking about it being the event, people were like, yeah, right. And now people, you know, I think maybe she's right because of what we have seen happen since Shungite came into the picture. And so to me, 2015, I was asked that by Michelle, and I said, there's no way that I can even imagine what's going to happen. Because if we have this one little gift of Shungite that can hijack the electromagnetic and Wi-Fi systems to create a healing environment. If we can use shungite to change the spin of water, and I suspect if, because the water system all through that area where the shungite is absolutely pure. And there are companies out there, there's one in an African company that, no, is it India? I think there's two. Well, there's a number of companies out there now that are trying to use shungite in their local water purification plants. And if shungite is doing what I suspect it's doing, which is the field, not the chemistry. One of the problems I have on right now is that people, they get into the shungite and then they go off and they start reading all this information that's out there and they think that they need X amount of shungite in X amount of water, like a liter of water, and you need so much shungite. And that you have to take it out, and you have to clean it, and you have to do all this stuff with it, and you don't want to have too many fullerenes and all. That's a fabrication of what they think is happening. Because if I'm a shungite dealer, and I know that this shungite, once you put it in the water system, is never going to need replacement, I'm not going to tell you that because I want you to come back and buy from me again. So I think that that's part of why you continually hear this, because in Russia itself, when they tried to determine how much where are these toxins going? It's got to be absorbed by the shungite. When they tried to find these toxins inside the shungite, they couldn't find it. Shungite somehow transmutes toxins, and I say that it transmutes it because of the field that shungite is producing, which is being fed by the zero point in the fullerene molecule to pull in quantum energy, which is unending energy. There's, you're never going to run out of quantum energy. So it brings it in through the zero point that is created by the geometry of the molecule itself, and that this spin feeds a counter spin, clockwise spin, that is the life cycle spin. So, and Regina Martino, who has written a book called Shungite, that is absolutely full of confirmation of what we initially had thought it was, Jay. And I highly recommend if you get a chance to at least look at it. Because they went and they measured at the energy level. I mean, these are people that are into bioenergetics, which is believing that we are energy beings and that you can tell the health and all sorts of things about a human being based on their energy field versus their 3D field. So that's what they get into, is measuring the energy field. And they're the ones that began to see this. They figured out how to test the shungite in different environments, including next to a cell phone that's turned on, next to a radio, one of the remote telephones is turned on, and what happens to the human electromagnetic field when they're subjected to this, and then what happens when they've got the shungite. And they kept using the word instantaneously, it changes the spin of the toxins, in this case the electromagnetic field of these devices. When you do that in an electromagnetic field and you change the spin, you still have the field and you've changed the spin. So now it's still a field, but it's no longer dangerous. When you get toxins like a chemical toxin into the environment, the same effect happens in that the shungite begins to spin the toxin at the molecular level. And the toxin wants to spin counterclockwise. That's why it's a toxin. It's deadly to you. So when the shungite field starts its spinning, I think it actually sort of tears it apart. It just disintegrates at the quantum, at the molecular level. And how we're going to try to prove that one, I'm not exactly sure. But that's why I think that there's no absorption in the shungite. It's actually attenuating it, is the English translation of whatever Russian word they're using for this phenomena. But it's remodulating, it's changing it, it's changing the spin, causing the molecular cohesion to fall apart. Because it's not in its own field. In an electromagnetic Wi-Fi system, you've got its own field. So right now, if somebody said to me, should we shut down the Wi-Fi system, I'd say no. Put shungite on it, because it's going to enhance you versus hurt you. But without the field, you don't have the field to be able to interject the shungite spin into your own environment. except if you're holding on to it or you got a pendant or something like that. But it's much more effective as an electromagnetic field in all that it does. So I just want to see 2015 continue bringing us this knowledge so that we know where we go from there. It depends on how fast we can learn this. You there?
Yep. And how fast we can, learning and also practicing it, you know, just being it, the gap is getting smaller and smaller. It's like, oh, that's how you do it. Right, okay, let's do it. We seem to have to act on information that we've only just learned more and more, I feel. You know, this has been going on for several years, I feel. That, you know, you might learn something a few years ago, right? You'd think, oh, isn't that a coincidence? I was thinking about that a couple of weeks back, and I got a book out of the library, and da, 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 and there's the opportunity to use this information. And then, but nowadays it's like, oh, I saw that on YouTube this morning. That's handy.
Well, yeah, synchronicity is happening all over the place where you seem to be, you learn one thing and then the next thing you know, somebody's talking about the same thing in another way. The amount of learning that is occurring, we know this, that it's exponentially increasing with the internet. And as we more and more people come together in groups like we have, I mean, I hope you had the chance to listen to Matty Rowans, my interview with him, because he was such a very good example of how somebody who is totally asleep ends up waking up rather suddenly when he loses his stock market portfolio and then he's out of a job and he starts to see what's out there. And he was one of the people that got into Facebook while Facebook was still a social media. And he was able to describe how he started seeing it change from a social media where, well, I ate this here and I like that there, to one of, can you believe this YouTube? Can you believe this article? And people started to share in the environment of Facebook knowledge. Researchers doing it for their own enlightenment started to share. And once that happened, there was an extraordinary jump in the awareness of humankind all over the place by these groups coming together. And I don't see that changing. I think that, I'm administrator of three groups, and they just keep getting bigger and bigger. Well, there's more and more people.
Remember the dominoes.
Yes, it was a great thing. I loved that.
That's a big image, that, because it's only 29 steps to an Empire State Building kind of thing, from the tiniest, and this is the example of what they call the butterfly effect, you know. You could influence two people who could influence four, who could influence six, eight, or whatever number sequence you want to take. It goes exponential after a while. And
tell the story about the domino, because we have a new audience here maybe, and just go through.
Okay, well, it was a video I saw this afternoon. My son and his friend were here, and he said, hey, Dad, look at this. This is really cool. Oh, I've seen this. No, let's have a look. So he showed, and it was a guy, and he had a series of dominoes, but the dominoes were not equal-sized dominoes. He said, that's easy. You check this out. And he had dominoes. He made them very carefully, and each domino was 1.5 times the size of the previous one. Now, I would venture a guess, you could probably go up to 1.618 the size. You could probably go up to a phi ratio on this, and that would be that, you know, that would probably say take you up in 25 steps. But and he took it all the way down. He had one tiny one that was about like half a centimeter tall and about a millimeter thick, a really, really tiny one, that had one that was 1.5 times the size of that, and so on and so on and so on. And he had about 13 steps, and in 13 steps, this coming from this, you know, half a centimeter one is about, it was about 18 inches tall. What's that? Yeah, 50, 45, 60, 50 millimeters. 75 mil? Yeah, about 75 mil, 18 inches. So it's about 75 mil height. Great big thing. Great big, like, piece of concrete. And with this tiny little one, you know, just half centimeter high, tipping that over with the very edge of his tweezers, it went on to knock over the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one, until finally this 18-inch block of concrete fell over. So it is a perfect example of that, how a very small influence, given the right mathematical leverage to optimize it, because what we were doing, we were optimizing, it was the largest possible thing that thing could knock over, which was probably a phi ratio, 1.618, yeah, about 1.5 times, slightly more than 1.5 times, will take you up to the up to this ability to move the next thing along. So a butterfly maybe moves a hummingbird, and a hummingbird maybe moves a pigeon, etc. What do you think? Oh, you're not there. So yeah, it was a fascinating video to see this thing. I'll see if I can find the
I just found it. That's why I was delayed. I was I just posted it in our chat here. If you can post it in chat.
Oh, did
it,
you? I think, all right. Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's the same one.
Domino chain reaction. Da, 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 da. Yeah, that's the dude. There he is. Let's just find the point when he's got that tiny little one.
Another domino, which is a, and the smallest dominoes, and the largest domino, and there are 13 dominoes. And the large.
So there we go. 13 dominoes. The largest one being this great big stone block. So let's. I'm just going to save the video at this particular time and post that in the chat room now, in wolfspiritradio.com/wolfchat. Or in fact, you can go to the HTML5. I've just posted the wrong thing in there. You could go to the HTML5 version, which is, it's on the website itself, as opposed to being /wolfchat. And that's, I'm just posting the YouTube in there, so that you can see the YouTube. Excellent. So
for those of you that don't have the computer on or something, you just Google, and what I put in was dominoes, and then I put Empire State Building, and it came right up.
Yeah, the video is called Domino Chain Reaction by Stephen Morris. So,
well, they must have it tagged with Empire State Building.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. It worked.
It was the kinetic episode. There we go. Anyway, so there we go. Original idea by Lorne Whitehead, American Journal of Physics, volume 51, page 182, in 1983. Have you seen these domino festivals? You know, the Euros are really into these like the Finns, I suppose, because their winter lasts 6 months. They're you know. They don't get light for 6 months. They have to do something, and after procreating, I suppose playing dominoes and playing around with domino things probably gets them after a while. They do these amazing domino. They're like sandmandars. They're like Tibetan sandmandars, and they make these huge pictures that, when the dominoes flip over, they create another picture. They're just incredible. You ever seen that?
I haven't seen exactly that, but some of the things I've seen with dominoes are phenomenal and so much fun. But how much work? I mean, my goodness.
Well, it's just like the... We were talking about meditation there. It's like the Tibetan sand mandalas. Have you ever seen these? These guys, he's sitting there, and it might take him 3 weeks, and he's going with this little thing that is dropping like 3 grains of sand at a time, of coloured sand, onto this thing. And gradually he builds up the mandala. Once it's done, they throw it in the river. Because it's the doing of it that is the spiritual task, not the thing itself.
And I tell that to people all the time that you know, hesitate to do their art or their writing or anything that is creative that lets that energy out. You know, do it, because it's not important if anybody sees it or reads it. What's important that it's done.
Exactly.
That's just confirming it.
Yeah, because it's... It's the doing of things. I like to do things, but I don't really like to make lots of them. You know, I like to make one thing, and then there you go. You can, if somebody else likes to make lots of things, that's fine. But I like to just make things. I don't like to make lots of them. So most of the things I make are kind of one-offs. But you can catch them in the drift as they go past.
Yeah, but the fact that you did that puts that into the collective consciousness or whatever it is out there, and somebody that, you know, can see, that likes to make a lot of things, that likes to produce things, that manufacture things, you know, they pick up on it. Now, it may not be directly from you, but you put that, you've scribed it into the consciousness of humanity. You know, this can be done, and this can be done, and this can be done. That's why I also tell people, you don't have to go out and physically activate yourself into anything. The most important thing is that you get your head right. You think about things. What if we did this? Could that happen? You know, just imagine these things, because without the imagination, you never get going anywhere. And it's more important to sit and think than it is to do nothing. I mean, to get out and just run around in circles trying to do things. People are just, we've underestimated the power of the human thought.
We are a nation of magi.
Absolutely.
Magi nation.
It's a world of. You know, it's not just one nation, it's a world. It's a universe of just this magical abilities that we have, because this, you know, it's like if you're gonna make a sculpture, you need the clay to have it to do it. But in our case, the stuff that we build with is energy, and it's all around us. It's at the quantum level. It's the ether. It's the in between. I mean, most people know this now, that, you know, it's like 90% of everything that is, we can't even see, and the 10% that we see that's solid is really not solid at all. It's mostly empty space. And it's the vibration of the fields that vibrating in the same frequency range is what seems solid to us. But that's what seems solid to us, because we're locked in the 3D. Once you get out of the 3D, in that you transition from the life cycle to the faster than light speeds, you're just in a different speed. But because you're operating faster than we can see, because we can only see below the speed of light, but you're operating faster than the speed of light, you can still see what's happening in the 3D world. And so when, you know, you have somebody who passes over, and then you start to have a conversation in your head that you start, oh, what am I doing? I'm talking like I'm talking to my mother. Well, you probably are talking to your mother, because she is able to communicate with you through telepathy. It's a step down in the telepathic energy fields, whereas you can just voice it. So if you want to tell your parents or your loved ones or your friends, you know, any last messages, just tell them. They're there to listen. They can hear you. Don't hold back. You know, you want to scream and holler at them because they did something really jerky, like dying on you? Well, tell them that. If you forgot to say I love you the last time you saw them, tell them that. They haven't. All they're doing is operating in speeds faster than light. We can see, because we can only see.
That's hard for us to get to. It's especially hard if it's
a young child or you know, a sudden death or any, you know, that's very difficult. But when you live through a few decades, you start to understand that, well, you know, I don't think that mom's gone that far because I'm still getting feelings of mom. Those are real. They're more real than anything. So if you just follow what's happening or pay attention to the details, and certainly don't pay attention to what they're telling you on the television and in the newspapers. You know, that's all bogus. But find yourself a nice group. Like we have Wolf Spirit Radio is a really fine group, and we admit that we're crazy, that we're not normal. We don't want to be normal. Normal is being asleep. Normal is being depressed. Normal is not being in control, and we definitely are not normal. And one thing you didn't mention when you were talking about the archives is that people right now can go and spend $5 a month and be able to download any of the archives that is, what was there, thousands of them, Jay?
You know, there are several thousand hours of information going on down there.
Yeah, and for $5 you can go back and you can look at just so many people that have set the, it's not like we all of a sudden just appeared on the scene and had all this information. This is how we learned. We listened to these people. Jay talked to these people, asked them the questions that needed to be asked. And if you really are into understanding what's happening, those are a treasure house. Like, you'll never find, well, you'll find them in another. You know, there's other radio stations that might be doing this too, but you're listening to Wolf Spirit, and you do have those archives, and they have, I've not been with Wolf Spirit since, well, it's only been about a year, but, you know, there's years worth of hundreds, well, like he's saying, tens of thousands of hours of people talking. So, you know, if you can, do it. Even if you just spend one, you know, get 1 month and go online and download as many things as you think you're going to be interested in listening to in the next few months. And then when you run out of those, do it again. I just am into providing information, and Wolf Spirit is one of the best places you can find in the archives for very, very valuable information. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Normal.
And you can find valuable information on my site, cosmicreality.net. We do a lot on Shungite, and naturalnews.com just came out with another report on the, you know, it's an absolute fact that the Wi-Fi is causing cancer. And that particular article, I mean, I thought I knew quite a bit about the whole subject because I've been studying it for so long, but they came out with something that I had not heard before, and it deals with, let me see if I can get the name of that thing, 86'd everything. It's a gland in the area of the cheek, and they're finding high incidences of cancer. And I have two friends, one who is continually on the cell phone, who is going in for a biopsy because I got this abscess thing in my cheek that's not going away, and another friend who's already had an operation for taking out cancer in that very same area. And I had not heard about this particular linked to the Wi-Fi, and it's been absolutely linked to the Wi-Fi, because you got your Wi-Fi device or your radio phone right next to your face, and it is taking the area from your ear into your jaw area and bombarding it with a microwave. You're cooking your face, and so the reaction of the body is to the cells mutate, and you've got cancer right there in the face. So if you're out there and you've got some kind of a problem with your, you know, why have I got this feeling in my underneath my skin that there's something there? If I got a problem, you go get that taken care of, and get the hell away from the cell phone. Get Shungite, because we know Shungite transmutes all this. This is not anything that anybody can ever dispute anymore. There's too much research in it. One of the big cell phone companies had an independent group go out and do some research, and that independent group said what everybody was afraid in the cell phone community that they would say. So even the cell phone companies are being, paying people to tell them what they didn't want to hear and probably couldn't stop it once it started. So this was something I did not know about. My brother, unfortunately, died of the glioma tumor that is associated, brain tumor, that is directly associated with Wi-Fi. And he was the first person that I know that was on a cell phone. And when the cell phone that he was originally using was analog, which is really probably worse than what they've got out there now. And for God's sakes, don't give them to your children. I don't care if the kid bitches at you and tells you he's going to run away. Don't give these to your kids. You're killing them. Sorry, Jay. I just, it was one of those things where it's like I'm realizing that, and I started the post underneath the post about this article, but this has gotten personal again, you know? I mean, if I know two people that are having this problem, how many people are having this problem? And they don't know it.
Exactly. And, talking about that, I know a guy who used to drive around, he used to work for a power company and they had him on the cell phone. And he used to drive down the road. this is years and years ago, like you say, in the old days when it was a great big thing. And guess what? He had a tumor in his neck as big as an egg, and they pulled that out of his head. And he just uses the phone on the other side now.
Yeah.
Anyway, meanwhile.
But if you use shungite, if you attach shungite to the phone, they do have the shungite cell phone things that they're sticky and they just stick on your phone. And Regina Martino in her studies confirmed that this is effective. I'm trying to figure out some way that I can cheaply put together something that I can get to people just as a free gift. Please put this on your cell phone. Because I cannot compete in my store with the prices that they can get. You can go to eBay or some of the big shungite stores from Russia, and you can get these things at the same price that I would get, and I would have to up the price to get them to you. Just please don't. I mean, I just can't tell you how many times I've given the same advice to people. These are my friends who I've been talking to for decades about this. You shouldn't be using them. You shouldn't be using them. Now I can hand them shungite and say, well, at least you'll stop what you've done thus far. You can't go back and reverse that stuff, but, well, we can stop it now. So.
Yeah, so it's a great thing to have. I'm thinking about sending some to my my dysfunctional in-laws or ex-in-laws through my son. He said it was it's just a terrible time. Everybody's completely crazy, and because people don't really know, and what they don't know they get scared about, and then when they get scared about, they don't want to know.
Well, before, when I would talk about this stuff, when I first got into it, it was with just the electric systems in the houses. But there were things you could do. Like one of them was every house seems to be designed this way, where the refrigerator is the back of the refrigerator on the other side of that wall is where the dining room is, where the kids would be sitting there studying while they're being blasted by this really bad energy.
Yeah, radiated.
So there were things where the real proof of what was happening out there came from people who would move into a new house and then come down with all of these physical ailments. And when we would look at the house, we realized that they had moved into a house where the bedroom, where the bed was on the other side of it, was actually where the electricity was coming into the house. So we could see patterns, we could prove patterns, just move your bed away from there, because these fields, they go 4 to 6 feet into the house. But they're attenuated to a degree by how far away it is, you know. So, but the Wi-Fi is a totally different ball game. There was nothing you could do about that until we got the Shungite. And so you put the Shungite in the Wi-Fi system, and it transmutes it from deadly to healing. And that's how we're going to have to fight back. And I'm hoping that, you know, if I've got any wish for 2015, it's that everybody, my mission to given to me is to get Shungite to the masses. Just make everybody in a Shungite environment. And we've got, now we've got restaurants that, like, there's this, this health food restaurant that prides itself on no gluten and, you know, all the things that they get concerned about. And they are actually going to convert the entire restaurant into a Shungite environment. They're putting it on the electric system, and they're putting it in the refrigerator.
Nancy?
People are, yes.
Shungite hoodies is the future. That's all I can say. Shungite hoodies.
Yep.
I want one. When am I going to get one? Yeah, my girlfriend, she's such a seamstress. She can sew all this. Where's my, you know, okay. Just putting it out there. Shungite hoodie.
Yeah.
Nice and windproof, cozy, fleece inside. Yeah.
And if you have a little aluminum foil over it, you know, just for effect, you'll
threaded,
be fine.
Threaded with silver wire.
Ooh.
Tinsel.
Well, they have that material, that silver material. You know, where it's silver wire?
Yeah, you can get electroconductive material.
Just have them make the hoodies out of that.
Well, just to make a liner for the hoodie and connect them in with pieces of Shungite, and I'm sure you'll get, like, an extra protective field, because whatever goes on the net, onto that web of the material, it'll be sunk straight by the Shungite. I'm going to have to try that. I'm going to have to find some. Okay, I need to manifest some electroconductive material. Let's see where I can get some. I'm sure you can get... I mean, it's like just basically metallized thread woven into cloth.
Well, like I say, they have this... I've actually been... Somebody wrapped me up in this silver wired thing. So you can find it. Go to, you know, electromagnetic pollution preventative measures, and you'll probably find some kind of a you know, different versions of that same material where it blocks energy fields. But if you want something that is conductive, more conductive, probably space blanket.
Yeah, I'm just there we go. Conductive textiles. Kobakant.app.
Google is your friend.
Google is my friend. Less EMF fabric. Conductive fabrics. There we go. Electro textiles. There we go. Oh, wow. There's loads. An uncommon thread. Okay, economist. Very good. Images for electroconductive cloth. Well, there we go. So that should be quite interesting. You could make even a coat that heated itself up with the battery, made with cloth that got... had a slight resistance to it, and anyway, long story. But yeah, we were going to play a tune, weren't we? This tune I'm going to play, since we're talking about threads, I'm going to take it to golden threads, or fields of golden threads, or fields of gold. How about that for a segue? Bye. Welcome back to Ever Beyond. I'm now lost in wowwowwow.kobakant. That's KOBAKANT.AT. And they have some very interesting stretch conductive fabrics. Wow, look at this. Cobaltex. Cobalt alloy top coating. Highly conductive. Looks and feels just like Flectron N. And it's solderable. Shield it super. This is awesome stuff. Pure copper polyester taffeta fabric. So this is not tried this one. It is absolutely gorgeous. Imagine it's pure as a, it's like a copper cloth.
Have you got the website?
Yeah. Let me just post it in the chat room. Lost in this. Check this. This is lovely. So where's the chat? I'll just drop that in there. Because there's some lovely stuff in here.
So do we know anybody that can design clothing? You know, we'll have a clothing line of really weird stuff.
Well, I know a group, quite a lot of people who do clothing, of all different kinds. There's one woman I used to know, and I got a pair of her, her jog pants. And what she did was to take old, like slightly scruffy clothes that were secondhand, thrown away, and she would dye them. But before she dyed them, or she would dye them and then dip her rubber gloves and dip them in bleach, and then put the bleach hands all over them, so that there would be the dye would go away, like a batik, kind of inverse batik. So I've got a pair of those trousers that are like that. I've got these big handprints all over them. They were quite fun. But yeah, I do know some seamstresses, and that might be quite fun. But I wonder how much this was. Refinance your home if you want to buy that silver cloth, says Vanessa. Yeah.
Well, the stuff that
threat has been detected.
Okay.
Oh, threat has been detected. Oh, you are elf.
My mask just came up as soon as I went on that website.
Oh, right. Okay. Avast.
I don't know what that means, but it's like scares me when it happens. when I saw the silver, it was gosh, I think it was about 6 feet long and at least 4 feet wide, and it was $100 and some, not much over $100. So it is expensive, but you know. They were using that basically to make drapes and stuff to block Wi-Fi coming through the windows.
Yeah, but it would certainly be, you could put it, you know where it would be excellent? I think it would be really cool to have it running down your meridian lines. You know, if you took a Chinese meridian line thing model and then built a jacket according to those lines and have them shielded somehow and grounded with Shanghai. In the hems and at the centers, maybe three pieces at each of the centers along the spine. Because basically, a hoodie would go right down the spine, wouldn't it? Say that again, man.
You're talking about the human meridian system?
Yeah, yeah. If you're wearing a jacket, right?
Are you saying about the human? Well, like I say, I think if we can get the get enough shungite out there, we're going to want to feel those fields. Hi, Walt. Did he come back?
Excellent. Hi, Walt. You're back.
Hey there.
Are you guys hearing me?
Yeah, we got a bit of a delay. Yeah, we should have reset the call. Let me just pick up the call again. I'll bring it back in. Okay. Hello. Right. Okay. Good. Right. So, yes, we were just talking about electroconductive fabrics, Walt, and stretchable conductive materials that could be incorporated in an electromagnetic proof hoodie that also contains shungite at each of the chakras. That's what I was thinking, anyway.
I don't think Walt got back on.
Oh, this is the second time I've done that. Yeah, I've spoken to the ghost of Walt Silver.
Well, I thought he was on too, but now I see this little, you know, line thing.
Hang on, why would you?
The dots saying, no, he's...
Yeah, it's, there's a problem with this call. Well, anyway, let's not complain about Skype. Let's just talk and wait till Walt gets... Oh, there you are. Are you back now, Walt?
Uh-huh. I'm back.
How much of that did you miss? Everything.
You've been talking for an hour now?
Yeah, about that.
Hello?
All of it?
Yes.
Are you? See, we were talking about conductivity. Mm. Electroconductive cloth.
Oh.
And
that's like my earthing sheets.
Yes. Now, Wouldn't it be nice to have a jacket that had some shungite pieces that were joined by the electromagnetic cloth, I see a strip that goes down the spine with pieces of shungite at the chakra points.
Oh, but they wouldn't be touching the body, though. Oh, right.
No, it would join the fields together.
Well, the thing is that with the chakra thing is that they're not just the same way that, you know, we all have different heights and weights and appearances. Also, you know, race dependent and gender dependent. It's my understanding that not all chakras are located at exactly the same point. One of the things I learned making some of my stuff is that you can actually move your chakras at will. In fact, that's one of the exercises that Andrew Bartz's gives for the people. One of the meditations that he gives is to one by one bring your the chakras, the primary chakras in your body, bring them into the third eye chakra. It's a specific meditation that he gives. I don't know if it's for clearing or for what. So, and if you, since you're a dowser, you can use your pendulum. There's always been this ongoing argument where the proper location of the solar plexus chakra. And it's very interesting because on some people you find it 1 or 2 inches above the belly button. On other people, it's located exactly at the belly button. So, I don't know. I don't know if it is where it is due to the body being different, or if it is where it is because it's been displaced by some energy exposure, like Regina Martino describes in her book. Although I must say that the shifts that she registered when she did the experiments were lateral. They would move left or right, not up and down, because they were being affected by the spin of the torsion field. But I guess it's a solid idea, putting shungite on a jacket.
Well, that they were measuring that, Walt, but I don't know that they were looking at the up and down. They wouldn't have anticipated that.
Oh.
It may have been happening, they just weren't looking for it.
Looking for it? Oh, true. Well, I would like if it were in a jacket, I'd like it all over the jacket, not just, if you were to put a shungite in a jacket, you know, just all over the jacket, not just along the back.
All right, well, this is just where I feel like I certainly feel like I want it at the back of my neck, you know, just like the behind my throat. That seems to be like a place of where I'd want some.
That's very significant.
Yes. Why is that?
Well, because at the nape of the neck, the base of the skull, that's a very significant power spot. You know, depending on whose material you read, according to Paramahansa, that's where cosmic energy enters the body. According to Bartz's and others, it's the doorway into the astral plane. So that's why they always suggest you keep it closed, because that's where you can pick up astral parasites. So it's a very significant power spot for people that have issues, like, for example, nightmares when they go to bed, or for some reason they're picking up astral parasites. Andrew Bartz says to make a pouch with some salt crystals, like a Himalayan salt or Epsom salt, and when you lie down, put it on the nape of your neck. And I've done that in the past, that I verified that it works. You don't get weird, you know, torturous dreams. but it is a very powerful. That's the one part of the body that cannot be touched through surgery. Did you know that's, you know, where the medulla oblongata is? Did you know that just touching it with the tip of a pin is enough to cause instant death for a human? That's how sensitive that particular part of the body is. you can have open heart surgery and survive, but not your medulla.
That's exactly where they have the jack in the Matrix, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
In the film The Matrix, that's where the big jack, where they stick it in the back of the head, is.
Yep. And that's where they are. It's like switching bodies. You're switching from the physical body to the virtual body in the Matrix, from that access point. I don't think it was an accident that they chose that. Yeah.
So it would be, I mean, say you wanted to walk around in the street. Basically, you don't want to be open. You really do want to have a closure on these centers where they're basically like little vortexes that things will get sucked into if they're not closed off, aren't they?
Well, they get sucked into depending on your overall energy health. Because if you're a drug abuser, or if unfortunately you're stuck with any kind of psychotropic drugs, like for example the normal drugs that are prescribed to people that suffer from bipolar conditions, I have read that it's a particular kind of drug that allows energy holes in your aura. If you're under, you know, nervous depression, or you're under some kind of medication, anything that will affect and weaken your energy field, it's like walking around. What would happen, for example, think of your physical body. What would happen if you were walking around the street surrounded by people and you had open wounds seeping on your skin? They'd get infected, right? Because all kinds of stuff is falling on your wound. You know, smog, dirt from the air, you know, a car goes by and splashes you some street water on your wounds. That's the kind of stuff, you know, at the end of the day, most of your wounds would be infected because there was nothing protecting them. Well, that simile of open wounds, you can have that in your energy field, either due to stresses in your life or mental state, or you're very depressed. Anything that'll deplete your energy will affect the health of your overall aura, and you'll start getting openings or cracks. And that's where anything comes in. Now, if you're walking around and you're satisfied with yourself, I'm not saying you just won the lottery, but you like yourself and you love yourself and you love the work that you do and you're overall satisfied with your life, your energy field is going to be nice and solid, and the chances of you picking up anything are going to be far and few. So the same way that your body is healthy and protecting you from infections and diseases, then your energy body has to be healthy and protect you from energy intrusions or etheric parasites or anything that might be floating out there. And that's where the shungite comes in, because it's so encompassing in the sense that it's not only working at the physical level. Shungite is working at the etheric and astral level as well, with this huge field that it forms around you. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better protection. Of course, one thing to take into consideration is not just because I'm wearing this nice shungite piece or this shungite device, that's it, I'm set, you know, nothing is going to get into me. Well, human free will still applies. And if you're walking around with a tremendous nervous depression and all you want to do is kill yourself, well, the shungite has no way of violating your free will. It's like making a call out there, you know, somebody out there, come and get rid of me or put me out of my misery. So yes, you will pick up, you know, an energy entity or something, because you're like a beacon. You're putting out, you know, the negative call. So the shungite helps, but, you know, you have to help yourself. You know, the old adage, God helps those who help themselves. You have to be in agreement with the shungite, so the shungite can do its work and help you. So that's why you can't force healing on someone who doesn't want to heal.
Exactly. You can only... And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier about conductivity and the flow. Because actually, we were talking about it in your absence, and I had this big spiel, and I said this thing, and she said, "No, he's not here." I'll try and paraphrase what it was, but
squeeze it into a few sentences.
Yeah, to it was about the understanding that the flow of energy in a wire is very much connected, very much analogous to the flow of water in a piping system, in a plumbing system. And the behavior of water is that water enjoys, and i.e. will move and flow very nicely, water moving in a spiral fashion. And it seems also that energy does the same sort of thing. Or electricity, let's say, in this form.
Yes. It doesn't move in a straight line. It moves in a spiral. If it didn't move in a spiral, you would not have electromagnets. It would be impossible. you know about electricity, right, JP? I mean, you've been working on it for many years. I mean, so it's not an, it's a household thing for you. You know that for a fact. Then when you have an electrical current go down a conductor, what happens? You get a magnetic field around it. You know that, right? You get magnetic lines going around the conductor as the electrons move through the wire.
That's right.
You have magnetic lines. You have a circular magnetic field. Now, the rotation of the field is not accidental. If you were to be looking down at the end of a wire and the current is coming at you, from your point of view, the current is moving toward you through your face, you would see that those magnetic lines are turning clockwise. Now, if you were holding the wire so that the current is moving away from you, those magnetic lines, from your point of view, would be turning counterclockwise. So when you put several wires together, all of these magnetic lines come together and they meld, creating an electromagnetic field. And this is what allows electromagnets to exist. This is what allows transformers to exist. Because the current, as it goes down the wires, is not going in a nice, solid, straight line. It's moving and it's rotating as it moves. So it's going down the wire in a spiral fashion. That's what happens with my implosion coils. You have the spinning around the vertical axis, you have spinning around the circular axis, and you have the movement from the perimeter to the center, because it moves, that flow is, as you described, it's moving as a spiral. So what else, JP?
So we were talking about how it was like I was trying to get inside how you did this, but you understand how if you put you make a particular form, you seem to understand the field that it generates. And that's a sort of intuitive sense that you seem to have.
Well, I've used my dowsing rods and my pendulum to gauge the thickness, because
could you disconnect and reconnect your call?
I shall.
Disconnect and then click join call again and see.
I don't know, I was kind of getting into it.
I know, but he's breaking up a lot for me. Could you mute? Are you muted while Walt is talking?
Oh, Nancy?
Yes, I'm muted when he's talking.
Okay, good. All right. So he's okay. Well, try again. Let's see if we get a good signal.
No, I was saying before is that I the same way that you have, which is what you're doing, because you're doing, you know, the spiraling type devices, the same way that when you have electron flow through a metal conductor, you have magnetic lines forming around the body of the conductor, the same thing happens with argon. When argon flows along the wire, it's not just inside the wire. It is actually forming a field outside the wire. And depending on the dimensions of the wire is how thick it is. And what's interesting, it also, when I found this, it led to the answer. I had a question to myself. You've seen the Sperling AccuVac coils, you know, the straight ones, and you've made some yourself. I always wondered why, from my knowledge of electricity, when you make a coil, the closer the windings are to each other, the stronger is the magnetic field. So it made me wonder why, when he made those AccuVac coils, he's actually leaving a space between the windings. As you notice, they're not close to each other, they're not touching each other. So I used the rods to check the size of the field coming out of the metal, and I used my pendulum to ask questions. And it turns out that if you're dealing just with argon, not electricity, if the windings are touching each other, the argon field around the metal kind of collapses onto itself a little bit, whereas if you increase the space, it actually expands. So I found that if at a maximum distance of three times the thickness of the wire is where you get the maximum amount of argon field around the device. So that's why when you look at the AccuVac coils and you pay attention and you notice the separation between the windings, the separation is actually equal to either the thickness of the wire that's being used or two times, because that separation is what lets the argon field around the wire expand. And then when he came up with the rings, that's very interesting, because you may have heard the story of the first ring he made was just a piece of wire made into a circle and soldered. But what happens is, depending on your point of view, if you're looking down at the ring and the field is circulating clockwise, that face of the ring is actually good. It's life enhancing. If you flip the ring over and from your point of view it's circulating counterclockwise, that's actually life depleting, because the ring, that face of the ring, is actually pulling life force onto itself and I'm projecting it out the other side. So it's unidirectional. And Sperling, when he was experimenting with these, he almost had a heart attack, because he reclined in his Lazy Boy and he put the ring on his chest. He put the negative side on his chest and he started getting palpitations. So he almost had a heart attack. He had to jump out of the sofa and let the thing fall on the ground and, you know, allow himself to settle down. But it was because of the ring. So he figured, you know, this is a dangerous thing to sell if people don't know which side of the ring. So when he started experimenting what to do about it, that's when he came up with what you're doing, the twisting. Because when you're doing that twisting and making it into a ring, now you have argon flow in both directions at once. So when these fields are intersecting, you know, they're colliding, so to say, you know, they're hitting each other going in opposite directions, that increases the size of the field, and you get this field of subtle etheric light that some clairvoyants are able to see. Like, I can't see it, but my mom tells me when she looks at a ring at an angle, not at 90 degrees, but when she puts it at an angle, in the space inside the ring, she sees like a membrane, like a soap membrane, you know, when you blow bubbles. You get that little iridescent membrane inside of the, you know, the bubble ring.
Yeah.
And that's formed because the fields are actually colliding in each other. When you're looking at the twisted wire ring, you have one circulating clockwise, the other one circulating counterclockwise. But instead of canceling each other out, they're actually enhancing each other. And when you douse the polarity, it gives you positive on both faces. And that's when he came up with that, and he was able to sell those successfully, because then you're not putting the person at risk. Whichever side of the ring you use, it's good.
So what I've been doing with these,
mm-hmm,
is I've taken a ring about 3 inches in diameter and added three more to make the Genesa crystal.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now, if you look at Nancy's site, Cosmic Reality, you'll see one of these forms, the Genesa crystal form, as a Taurus. Yeah?
Let me go to Cosmic Reality.
You go to cosmicreality.net. You'll see it right at the top there. And it's the form of... And I'll also put into my...
You mean the main page or the product page?
Just, I think it's on the main page.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's on both of them, but the main page has it.
Okay.
The big logo that's got the cosmic on one side and the sun guide on the other. In the middle is what he's talking about.
Yeah. I see.
Oh, my website's crashed. Damn. Jesus. Just as we do, I'm just going to have to reboot it. Thank you very much, Richard. What have you been doing? Just going to have a look at those logs, aren't I? And find out what's doing. We'll be off the air for a few seconds, about 10 to 15 seconds. Just give me a second or two. Mm-hmm. Super reboot.
So you use that same software, Sam Broadcaster? Or do you use a hardware solution?
I use a different solution. We're going to reboot that, and we'll be back on the air within a few seconds. Once we're back, we're back on. So that should bring the Will Spirit Ever Beyond Radio back as well. Yes, there we are. And so, let me see. If you go to the Geometry and Form page... you won't see anything there. Now, where is it? I've got a load of images that I haven't actually published on the thing, on the main page, but I'll put them on the chat room. And one of them is this form, which is, I call the Genesa Twist. And I'll just paste that into the chat room, and you can see the picture there. Everybody's talking to me now. Well, there you go. There's the picture. I've just pasted it in the chat room there. And if you go to cosmicreality.net, if you go to cosmicreality.net, you'll see that same form, you see? Cosmicreality.net. And that's, there it is, right, just a bit, right in the middle of the page, you'll see a Taurus form with the hexagonal, ring. Basically, if you make one of these things out of hexagons, you get that form that's on the thing. If you make it out of circles, it illustrates the Taurus. Perhaps it might be interesting to have one of those that is both of them. One inside the other might be quite interesting. So, the Genesa crystal. So the upshot of that is that there are these planes that are shooting out in all directions, aren't they, Walt?
Wherever you have a face enclosed by the twisted wire, right then and there you have a membrane of light. Now, I'm relaying this information from the knowledge of how the rings work. So you should have a membrane of light in the area delimited by the wire. So you have, since the Genesa crystal is made of squares and triangles, you'll have, a square membrane, a triangle membrane, but also from each shape, whether it be square or triangular, you should also have a beam of light that's coming off perpendicular to the plane of that form. So you have to think, we have this as, how many faces do we have? We have
four intersecting beams.
You have, I'm trying to count how many squares and how many triangles on a Genesa crystal. So this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there should be like 16 faces?
Something like that. Oh, there we go. We count them now.
Yeah, 14 phases.
Yeah.
14 phases. So you have 14 beams of light that are being projected out of the structure, and then 14 that are going in, meeting at the center. So there's a lot of energy vectors to take into consideration. And the torus is just one of them. Because where those beams meet in the center, that's an opening. That's like a portal type thing where several lines intersect.
Yeah. So I gave one of those to Nikki for Christmas, inside of which I'm hanging a shungite disc, and that is the shungite disc is surrounded by an odd shape of twisted twist. It's like the material I made the bracelet for her from, and that's formed into the shape of a sort of infinity sign, but only if you look at it from one angle.
Ah.
Like it's like an up and down sort of O shape. Anyway.
Yeah, that's really powerful because when I first read about the Genesa crystal structure, and I read about, you know, the engineer who came up with it, that he was inspired. The shape, the geometry of the Genesa crystal actually comes from nature because it's the, I believe it's the geometry of the embryo. When a plant embryo is developed up to an X number of cells, it has this geometry. So he was inspired by that. And what they found, they made it out of, you've seen the pictures, they made it out of just regular middle rings. But it had that balancing effect. It would pull energies into it, balance them, and then project them out. So wherever you put them, it was constantly balancing whatever environment you're putting this thing in. So if you're putting in the shungite, imagine have you used your rods to measure the edge of the field? I'm sure the shungite must amplify it several times.
Well, you know, this other guy, I can't remember what his twistedwire.com or something, twisted was, can't remember what his name is, but he makes these things, and he says the 3-inch one has an 8-mile field in all directions.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's pretty much of a kind of town size or small locality cleansing device. Now I'm thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have a 9-inch one? That would be
a yummy thing. It depends on how you use it.
Because that could probably clear a country in about that sort of way, wouldn't it?
Well, the Sperling harmonizers, the ones that are made where the rings are the sacred cubit size, those things supposedly have a diameter influence of like 1,500 miles. I've made those large ones for myself. I have one hanging in the backyard.
All right, so now you take four of those and you make a Genesa crystal from that. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And that should be big.
Yeah. I wonder what it would be like to have one that you could sit inside of.
Well, one of the things that you should experience, and I'm convinced that you should experience this, if you made yourself four rings where the diameter of the ring is a sacred cubit, which is 20.6 inches, and you made it into a Genesa crystal and you amplified it with shungite, I'm convinced that you would no longer, and obviously if you set the intention into it, you would no longer experience that nasty weather form that you have, that hula thing that you get in Scotland.
Well, let's see.
Because this thing has a balancing effect on weather. I know that a group here in the southern part of the United States years ago, they had one of those harmonizers, the sacred cubit ones, the person making it, I think, was charging $3,500 for it. They actually used it, and they deflected a hurricane that was moving inland. they were successful in just shifting it, and just enough that it actually continued out and it dissipated over the ocean. And they credit that thing for doing that. Because this is something that you should be trying, not because I'm telling you to, but because you're an experimenter and you're a musician. When Sperling made these geometric shapes and bodies, obviously they have a specific energy field that you can measure, you can douse, and it's there, it's real. But when he projected certain sounds to the geometric body, the fields expanded, you know, exponentially. So when he and Bob Dretsch were able to record the sounds of a cloud, because Bob Dretsch developed a device called a molecular scanner using laser technology, he came up with a machine that would allow him to scan and capture the sound vibration of any substance, a crystal, liquid, gaseous, mineral, it didn't matter what state of matter it was. He could literally scan it and produce the equivalent sound vibration to whatever it was that he was scanning. So Bob Dretsch's workshop, I think, was like 1 or 2 miles away from where Slim Sperling lived, and they were on the phone with each other. And that day there was a cloud formation over Bob Dretsch's laboratory. So Slim were standing on the back door of his property, and he had one of the big rings, because I've made also several of the big ones. They're like 3 sacred cubits, so the ring is more than 30 inches across. It's a large one. And while he was on the phone with Bob, he took the ring and he pointed the ring to this cloud that was over Bob's property. So Bob, from the ground, took his scanner and pointed at the cloud. And every time that Slim would point at the cloud, the scanner would pick up an interesting sound signature. It sounded like a swarm of bees. And then it would go into this intense whistling sound, and then it would go down, and it would go back to sounding like bees. So Bob reasoned that he was scanning the molecular excitation of the cloud as it was being hit by the beam of light from the ring. So they recorded this. In fact, the recording is available for purchase. I got the CD. And when you put this on a player and you put the speakers pointing at the device, the field increases like 10 times under the effect of the signal. So they've used that to clear, you know, big storms, to clean the air around big properties, because the field actually responds to sound stimulation. I wouldn't be surprised that if you tried, I don't know, nature sounds or the recording of a singing bowl or something that's significant to you, you would be able to detect the field in your genesis crystal expanding far more than the size that it is now. Over to you, Captain.
Wow. Well, it's going to be
can I interject?
Go ahead.
Well, you broke up, and I wasn't sure what you said. They were able to dissipate the clouds with only the sound?
No, what they did is that they used the large harmonizer, which is not that, it's maybe slightly bigger than that black one that I sent you. Remember the first thing I sent you? The harmonizer?
Yeah, it's right in front of me, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like that, only imagine that maybe 4 inches bigger overall size, because it's like a ball. And that by itself, I believe, had a field something like 1,500 miles in diameter. And when they put the sound to it, it goes out something like 3,800 miles diameter size to the field. So I believe these people were in Texas when they had this thing. I forget the year. Some hurricane was coming up the coast, and it was going to be hitting inland. So one of the members in this group had gotten hold of this. I don't know whether he bought it or borrowed it. And they had some kind of meditation or something, and everybody was putting their intention on pushing the storm away, and they did. It started veering off eastward, and it went out into the ocean. So, but you can find the information at the Spirit of Matt website, where the in the section where they have the Sperling devices. I hope it's still there. I mean, that's where I read about it.
What was that again? It was the Spirit of.
Hold on. Let me go to the website, and I will give you the link. Let's see. Okay, I am pasting the link now. Let's see now. I hope they're still selling the Sperling stuff.
Yeah, so do I. So I'm just opening it up myself so I can see what's going on. Oh yes, there's Isis with her Seed of Life. Drinvalo. Uh-huh. Mart Store, shipping and wholesale, right. So
probably the store.
Lemurian harmonizing tools, you reckon? Here we go. Yes. Posse back. Lemurian harmonizing rings from $12.
Where did you get that?
Harmonizing tools. I'll just paste that in the chat room here. This one here. And this one here. Oh yeah. These things are really interesting, these little wiry twisty things. I can't make enough of them. They're quite fun.
Here we go. They're charging $2,800 for the big one, and I'm going to give you the link right now. There we go.
$2,800.
And
Life Technology. That's them, isn't it?
Yeah. So I thought to myself, Self, you can't afford this, so I just made it for myself.
Yeah, that does. Now I'm making these things. I can see how that might not be so difficult to make. What's it doing in the middle there?
It has an AccuVac coil in the center, but what I made my own interpretation of this. So I have one that's this size, but in the center, instead of an AccuVac coil, it has a tube that's holding an implosion coil, and the tube is filled with shungite.
Yes, that'll do. Yeah, I gotcha. So
yeah, that's what I've got here.
See these spheres? Are they just beads soldered on?
They're supposed to be hollow beads. And I had a chance to speak to a dowser who knew Slim, and I asked him, you know, what is the purpose of this? Are they needed? And he says, yeah, they're really not critical, but the only purpose of that is that they're like, they provide some kind of resonance, so they're like, they kind of help amplify the light. I mean, mine don't have it.
Well, just think if they were filled with shungite.
Yes, indeed.
That would be fun.
Yeah, because it's what's inside, isn't it? I don't know.
I don't know if I have a picture of it, I think. Let me see.
How tall is this thing? Walt, this thing that we're looking at, the Storm Chaser, the 2800, how tall is this thing?
I don't know. I'm not 100, does it say?
Uh-huh.
Well, this is the size of mine. See, instead of an AccuVac coil in the center, I put an implosion coil. And this tube is filled from top to bottom with shungite flakes.
I see. Wow. Okay, so yours is about like 8 inches tall, 9 inches tall?
Yeah, it's about the size of a soccer ball,
yeah.
I think.
Cute. How do you work it? How do you make it work?
Mine, the making of this one is actually different from Slim's, because the ones that he made them actually from independent rings. I asked that the dowser fellow that came over, and I said, I don't understand how they put it together. And he says, oh, that's very simple. They just made the ring segments like crescent moons, and then they soldered all of them at one point, and that created the structure. And I didn't like that at all. So mine is actually made, I don't know if you can see the detail, is actually like a flower. The arms actually are shared. See, one goes into the next, and then the other one goes into the next, and then the other one goes into the next. So at the bottom, they get soldered together, and you have a total of six junctions, which makes it stronger, because every time you have a junction, there's more argon going in through the wire. Each junction works like a little battery.
Wow. Now, I just want to try and explain what I just saw. To
Sorry about that. I didn't make it difficult.
How did you actually make that thing? Did you make them... did you turn them all by hand? Or did you use the electric drill process?
No. I used compression pliers, the ones that clamp shut, so that I could control the amount of tension and then just hand turn it.
Oh, I see. What we call mole grips.
Oh, okay. I know that you, being in Britain, you would have a different name for the tool.
Mole grips, yes. Locking okay. pliers, yeah?
Locking pliers.
Yeah.
So that allows me to, I lock the two ends, but I have to be careful at the bottom, because each arm, each segment has a positive and a negative. So you have to make sure that the positive from one side will meet the negative of the neighbor, and so on and so forth, so that the six petals of the flower are actually connected in series, therefore amplifying each other, as opposed to having the six arms just meeting at a single point of solder, one on the top, one at the bottom.
Wow. So... do you like make it as a flower first and then bend it round and down?
No, first I make like a star. Like I'm making a starfish. Make all the six arms.
Okay.
And then you're gonna turn the arms so that you're gonna curve the arms so they meet at the bottom. And then you start soldering them. I've done it that way, and I've also done other harmonizers, the smaller ones, where I will take the wire, make three letter V's, you know, like V like Victor, three V's
yeah.
out of copper, mate positive to negative, you know, and then twist them in order to create a three-arm star. So then you take that arm and you give it a 360-degree turn so that it meets at the center, and that creates one ring. And then you do the other one, and then you do the other one. So you have that shape, but it's made of a contiguous structure, as opposed to having used individual segments. So the energy is better. It's more, how can I describe it? More dense. It feels, I don't know. To me, it feels
solidified.
Uh huh.
Would that be a word?
Yeah, because now my perception was since it's the solder point, the silver solder copper point that establishes the flow, the way this dowser explained it to me, that when you're looking at a harmonizer, you're looking at six independent crescents that are being mated at the top and bottom to create the circular form. In my mind, what I is translating this into what I see, then the argon flow is going to be limited to each arm. Each arm is going to be having an argon flow. So that membrane that I described before, that a ring produces, it's going to be, you're going to have one half on this side and one half on this other side, so that they're going to be mated that way. But still, argon circulation will be isolated to each arm, because each arm is being soldered at the top. So argon, like electricity, follows the path of least resistance. And I didn't want that. I wanted the argon flow to be complete, that it will flow through every single it will go from wire to wire to wire to wire, doing a complete circuit of the complete device. So that's why I envisioned like a flower structure where the arms would become the ring. So that way I can guarantee that the organ is flowing through the entirety of the device, not isolated to each arm, in order to complete the complete feel. And
that's amazing. We've got to go.
Okay.
We have been here for all these hours on end. Thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you so much, Walt.
Thank you, JP, for having me.
Very, very interesting conversations. I hope you've all got something out of it. I mean, it's been pretty technical, but we need some technical. I need technical. It helps. Good night.
It helps. Good night. Good night, Walt. Thanks, JP.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, audience. Be safe.
Thank you very much. Next up, Frank Jordan and the Earth Mind Think Tank Group. We're looking
have a good
incoming. Incoming.
Have a good rest of the night.
Beyond.